We're turning back again to the Psalm number 56, please. Psalm number 56. And it's the words of verse number 8, or just a little phrase that we find in the middle of this verse that we want to consider by the Lord's help for the time before us this morning. Psalm 56 and the verse 8. Psalmist says, "Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle, are they not in thy book?" I'm going to speak today very simply, but I trust by way of encouragement and challenge as well to our souls on the subject of God's bottle of tears. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Let's just still our hearts as we come to the Word of God and ask for His help as we come to consider His truth today. Eternal God and our Father, we ask, O God, again for the help of God that we so desperately need. Lord, how much we stand in need of Thy help as we come especially to consider and to meditate upon the Word of God. Lord, we acknowledge that we are not able for these things of ourselves, but Lord, we thank Thee that in the preaching and in the hearing of the Word of God, Thou hast promised to give us help. And so, Lord, we pray that we might know the help of the Spirit to hear, to understand, and to take in what God the Lord would say to us. Oh, bless us, we pray. Lord, we pray that Thy Word will be a comfort and encouragement, and indeed, yeah, Lord, a challenge to each one of us today as we consider these words before us just now. Give us help, O God, we pray. And bless us, we ask of Thee. We pray this in Thy name and for Thy glory alone. Amen. Amen. No character in the whole of Scripture has had such a diverse and varied life story. One who experienced such spiritual extremities in his life than the psalmist David. The young insignificant shepherd boy, despised by his own family, not even thought worthy enough by his own father to be considered for the great task that God had called him to in leading the nation of Israel. The young man who with gritted determination brought down the great giant of the Philistines, but also the one who stooped to such a low point in his life by committing adultery with Bathsheba and then trying to cover up that sin by the death of her husband Uriah. When David penned this psalm, David was in a period of affliction. David was in a period of trial in his life. His life was in imminent danger because once again he was on the run from Saul. We have the circumstances of which we find this psalm written, recorded for us in 1 Samuel 21. When David and his wanderings fled to Gath, the very place that Goliath was from. Quickly he realized where he was and what had happened, and so in order to escape, he pretended to be mad. And then he escapes to that lonely and that infamous cave of Adullam. Because of the situations and because of the circumstances in his life, David often had cause to shed many tears. As he often journeyed through his life, his heart was broken, and his heart was burdened by the path that God called him to walk through. And there were at times that brokenness of heart was of his own doing. But David realized that even in the darkest hours of his life, he realized that even when he feared for his own life and that when he shed many tears, that while nobody else may have seen the brokenness and while nobody else may have seen the tears that he shed, yet he says with confidence that God saw every tear that he shed. And he uses this beautiful description in verse number 8 of what God does with his tears. He stores them in his bottle. Now, I know today that the idea of a tear bottle seems very strange to us. But we have to remember that in David's time, the thought of a tear bottle was very common. When someone died in those days, often the family would store their tears over their deceased loved ones and put them into this little bottle. And these tear bottles were then sealed up and always there as a remembrance. You've got to remember that at this stage in his life, David is as good as dead. But yet he still remembers that God was not unmindful of his tears. And he uses this metaphor of a tear bottle to portray that God saw his tears and that God stores those tears. This call to God to store up those tears that he shed was a call, I believe, of confidence in his God. You see, people will tell us today that if we weep and if we shed tears, then we are not really trusting in God as we should. But nothing, I believe, could be further from the truth. Shedding tears, it clears our vision. Shedding tears, it takes away all reliance upon ourselves and it fixes our strength on the one who's in control of all our circumstances. Because you see there in verse number 9, there's a great confidence in what David is talking about here. Because in verse 9 he says, "When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me." In verse number 10, "In God will I praise his word, in the Lord will I praise his word." In verse 11, "In God have I put my trust." Even though he's shedding tears, even though his heart is broken and heavy, yet he is trusting in his God. None of us are strangers to tears. Tears are a universal language. Many language barriers across this world today. But no matter what language we may speak, when a person sheds tears, we know exactly what they're saying. Tears can communicate a much more powerful message than a multitude of words. Often tears are shed as a result of a wound to the heart more so than a wound to the body. And often tears are the expression of our soul. And as we consider the subject of tears today, perhaps you think it's a strange subject to consider, but it is a subject that is right throughout the Scriptures of truth. We want to consider very simply, but I trust by way of encouragement and challenge to us, some of the tears that are seen in the Word of God. First of all, there are tears over sin. Tears over sin. I believe the tears that we shed over sin are the most important tears that we will ever, can ever shed. All our other tears, if they are not shed, based on our sin, then they are of really little significance. These are tears of repentance. These are tears of remorse. Someone has said that if we had shed more tears over our sin, then there would be less tears shed because of sin. And what a difference we would see in our country today if men and women, young people, wept over the sin in their lives. What a difference it would be in our nation if people realize just the awful lost condition that they are in before a holy God. If sinners saw themselves for what they really are, a sinner lost and on their way to a lost sinner's hell, then there would be many more less tears over the consequences of sin in our land. Less parents who would shed tears over a child who has gone out and committed some terrible crime. Less tears because of lives cut short because of some terrible sin they've been involved in. Tears of repentance. But sadly today, people don't want to repent. Today the message is you go away and you try to do harder. You go away and try to do some service to your community. And that will change your way. But little is said about repentance. Even in Christian circles today, the thought of repentance can often be alien. Come to Jesus. Don't worry about that sin. There must be, first of all, a repenting of sin. There must, first of all, be a sorrow over sin. And I tell you, the sinner who really sees himself before a holy God, and they see what their sin did, there will be tears. Tears of repentance. Can I ask you today, have you ever shed tears over your sin? Here you are sitting in this church today. Have you ever really realized how you stand before a holy God? If you're in this meeting today still unsaved, still under the wrath and the condemnation of God, then, sinner, you need to shed those tears over that sin in your life. You need to shed those tears over that sin that has offended a holy God. You see, as we consider Calvary afresh today, as we consider what it costs the Holy One, the Lord Jesus Christ, to take away our sin when we view Him, we see the nails, we consider the beating, we think of the shame and the mocking, the agony and the pain, and all that He had to endure, and the pain and sorrow of heart that He had to endure at the hands of His Father as well. And we consider it was for our sin. All for me. Yes, all for me. The Savior shed His blood and died. Christ died not for any sin of His own. Christ died for our sin. Surely today that ought to cause us to shed tears. It was my sin that nailed Him to the cross. It was my sin that made Him suffer such pain unimaginable. Today, if you're here without Christ, don't know Him as your Savior, you need to shed those tears of repentance. There must be a sorrow in your heart because of sin. And you shed those tears of repentance, God will see them. God will answer. And God will save you. Perhaps today you are saved, but you know that as you are before Him today, you're not right. You've wandered from Him. You've allowed other things to come in and to crowd out the Savior, and you don't love the Lord the way you used to. You don't love the house of God the way you used to. You don't love the place of prayer the way you used to. The reading of God's Word. You don't do it. And things today have crowded out the Lord, and today you're far from Him. Your heart is far from the Savior you once loved and served. Can I urge you today, shed those tears of repentance that have kept you from the Lord. David knew what it was to be in such a state before God. David knew what it was to let sin get a grip on his life. David knew what it was to wander far from God, but his sin found him out. And God sent Nathan the prophet to challenge him about his sin, and David repented with tears over that sin. You read Psalm 51. very public confession of his sin. Talks about him being washed and being purged and being cleansed. But it also talks about a broken heart. Tears over the sin that had come into his life. Have you lost the joy of God's salvation because of some sin in your life? Because sin will always rob you of your joy. It will rob you of the happiness that there is to be found in Christ. And why not today? Why not today come? Come back to the Lord. Come back into fellowship with the Lord today. Come back and share those tears that have caused you to wander, caused you to stray from your Lord. Come back to Him. Tears over sin. But also, there are tears over sorrow. I would say that there is not a child of God in this meeting today who has never shed tears over some sorrow, some burden, some anxiety. Some of God's people are asked to carry the heaviest of burdens because of sorrow, and it causes them to shed many tears. We were considering a few weeks back about Job. In Job 16, in the verse 16, he says that my face is foul with weeping. Such were the sorrows of his life. Such was the pain and the agony that he was, of the pathway that he was walking through. He said, my face is foul with weeping. The sorrow that God had allowed to come upon him caused him to shed tears. His face was so saturated with his tears, it was beyond recognition. But of course, God was not unmindful of those tears. God saw those tears. God made a record of those tears. You remember Mary and Martha? And they had wept over the death of their dear brother Lazarus. And of course, the Lord himself wept as well. And we read in John chapter 11 and verse 33, when he came to Mary and Martha, says, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, he was troubled. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, he was troubled. What a sweet, sweet verse that is. Maybe I'm speaking to someone today and you're carrying a heavy burden of sorrow. Some situation in your life, your family life, your employment, your business. Something you cannot even share with those around you. And it has caused you to shed many, many tears. Tears in the secret place. Tears where nobody else sees. Remember, those tears are not in vain. They're precious in the sight of God. And God will give you the grace and give you the strength. He says that when the burdens grow greater, he giveth more grace. Giveth more grace. Because you see, today, our Lord is not some impersonal being sitting in the heavens with no feelings or no thoughts toward his people. Rather, he is touched. That lovely verse that so often we quote in Hebrews 4:15, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He sees our tears, and he's touched by those tears that we shed. His heart is moved. And when your heart is breaking, dear child of God, over some sorrow, he's moved. As parents, when your children come to you with tears in their eyes, something that has caused them pain, in some way as a parent, we feel with them. We share with them in that pain. Our hearts are broken as well. But in a far greater sense and in a more perfect sense, our Heavenly Father knows when we, His dear people, are hurting and we're moved to tears. He feels that sorrow. He shares in that pain. And Michael Bruce put it so well when he said that in every pang that rends the heart, the man of sorrows has a part. Tears over sin, tears over sorrow. Then also we want to look at tears over sickness. And how many of God's dear people today and their body is ravaged by sickness and pain? And how often God takes His dear people and asks them to pass through a valley of sickness. And perhaps even today. Today, and something has happened to you this past week, you can't share it with anybody else. You haven't been able to communicate something that has happened to you this past week. And whatever it is that has caused you to shed precious tears, oh yes, you come to the house of God today, you put on a good show. And when we ask you, how are you doing? You say, all's well, fine, thank you. But deep within your heart is breaking. And tears fill up in your eyes because of some sickness, some illness. Oh yes, a smile can hide a multitude of sorrows. We can only look on the outside. But remember that verse that is often quoted in the gospel but is always applicable to the people of God as well. Man looketh on the outward. God looketh on the heart. God sees your heart today. He knows that your heart is breaking. You remember King Hezekiah, a godly king of Israel. Some sickness had entered his body, and this sickness was very severe. In fact, we read in 2 Kings chapter 20 in the verse 1, it was a sickness unto death. And Isaiah came to his home with that message. A terrible message that he had to deliver to King Hezekiah. And Isaiah delivered that awful news to Hezekiah. The sickness was on to death, and then he left. Hezekiah did the only thing that he could do in such a situation, and he cried and he prayed unto his God. In 2 Kings chapter 20, in the verse 3, we read that he turned his face to the wall and wept. And remember, he's by himself. Remember, Isaiah has now left him. Hezekiah's heart is breaking, and he's pleading with God, and he petitions God, and he does it with tears. Even though nobody else sees the tears that he has shed. Nobody else knows about the tears that he has shed. And then you know how the story ended. God spoke to Isaiah, who had started to make his way back home, and told Isaiah to turn back and go back to Hezekiah and to tell him that he was going to add another 15 years on to his life. There's a little phrase in that passage of Scripture that we don't have time to turn to today, but you do well to look at it later on. 2 Kings chapter 20 and the verse 5. You know what the Lord says about Hezekiah? He says, I have seen thy tears. I have seen thy tears. Hezekiah probably thought nobody saw his tears, and nobody, no human, saw the brokenness of his heart. I have seen thy tears. Now you may ask today, why did God add 15 years to the life of Hezekiah and yet not to others? His ways, all I can say, are higher, holier than ours. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But all I do know, that as for God, His way is perfect. And even through hard and difficult times of sickness and sorrow, the Lord says, I see thy tears. Does Jesus care? The hymn writer said. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained? Too deeply for mirth or song as the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. And when the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. You remember that lovely verse, 1 Peter 5 and 7, casting all your care upon him. Why? He careth for you. He careth for you. He cares. He sees your tears. He records those tears. He stores those tears in his bottle. Tears over sin. Tears over sorrow. Tears over sickness. But I want us to consider another type of tear that we have recorded for us in the Word of God. And that's tears over the sanctuary. And what I mean by that is by the Church of Jesus Christ or the state of religion. My heart this past number of weeks have been greatly challenged by the life and witness of Nehemiah. And we possibly will, God willing, commence a study at some stage going through this book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah inquired after Jerusalem. People are returning back after their bondage. And he inquires after the city that he loved so well. And the news, as you will probably be familiar with, the news came back to him in Nehemiah chapter 1 and 4. The city was destroyed. The gates were burned. The city was left in ruins. And how did Nehemiah react when he heard that? It says in Nehemiah 1 and 4 that when he heard those words, when he heard the city of Jerusalem symbolized the church of Christ, a holy thing for him, when he heard it, he sat down and wept. He sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. You see, Nehemiah's heart was heavy. His heart was broken. That sacred place, that holy place was in such a ruin. The place which had been the pinnacle and the talking point and such a holy place, now it was in such a ruin. Today, as we look across our land and our nation, and we see this nation of ours, we see, yea, even this province of ours, a province that we love, a province that we hold dear. And we see it destroyed and wrecked and ruined by sin. We would see those who take the name of Protestant, and they're as dark as the people in darkest Africa. Yesterday, we were up at the Apprentice Boys Parade in Londonderry. We're not going to go into history, the breaking of the boom and all that happened there and the goodness of God. But you know, all we saw yesterday was drunkenness, foulness, language that terrible. Does that not cause our hearts to be heavy? We see our country today, this country that used to send missionaries by the boatload to foreign lands, a missionary, a place as dark as many of those places that missionaries were sent to. Does that not cause our hearts to be heavy? We see this land that we love in such spiritual ruin. People with no thought after God. People with no concern after God. Nehemiah, he wept tears over the state of the land that he loved, the place that he loved. When was the last time And I say this to my own heart as much to anybody else's. When was the last time I sat down and shed tears over the state of our land spiritually? Oh God, give us the heart of Nehemiah. God, give us such a heart that is broken and burdened for our fellow countrymen that we love. A young man who was working in the Salvation Army under the leadership of William Booth. He wrote to William Booth and he was telling him all about the hardness of the work. Nobody was listening to what he had to say. No fruit for his labor. There was no point as far as this young man felt in the work of God. And for him, he was coming home. He was leaving it all behind. And William Booth received the message that this young man, this young preacher, was giving it up. He immediately sent back a telegram to that young man and just two words on it. Try tears. And may God give us such a burden today for our generation in which we live. Tears over sin. Tears over sorrow. Tears over sickness. Tears over sanctuary. But finally, as we close, tears over souls. The Apostle Paul, before he left the church at Ephesus and continuing on his missionary journeys, he gathered all the elders together and he spoke to them about the work of God in Ephesus. And in Acts chapter 20 and the verse 31, he says, I cease not to warn them night and day with tears. With tears. Here was a man of God so burdened for the people. He warned them of their sin. He warned them of judgment, but he did it with tears. May God give us tears over the souls of men. Souls of young people who are lost and dying on their way to a lost sinner's hell. Oh, God forbid. God forbid that we should ever be at ease in Zion. God forbid that we should know we're saved. Thank God we're saved. Thank God we're safe in the knowledge of what Christ has done for us and yet forget that there's a world out there that's lost and dying. Going to hell, we need to tell them. May we shed tears over the souls of men. Psalm 126 in the verse 6 says, He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. He that goeth forth and weepeth. That's the commission we're to go forth. And the compassion we are to weep. We shed tears over souls. We shed tears over those, even in our own families, in our own homes, in our communities, neighborhoods, who are lost and dying in sin. Matthew 9:36, it says that when Christ saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. When Christ saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion upon them, as sheep having no shepherd. Robert Murray McShane, a young man who did more in his 29 years than many a preacher will ever do in a multitude of ministries. He wept over the city of Dundee every day. And he often would have said, can you not hear the tramp, tramp, tramp of Christless feet on their way to hell? Christ wept over Jerusalem. McShean wept over Dundee. May God help us to weep over Belfast. May God help us to weep over this province. May God do something in us and through us as a church and as a congregation that we'll see great things done for God. We've only fleetingly glanced at some of the mention of tears in the scriptures. What a multitude of tears any one person will shed in their lifetime. And each time we shed those tears, we'll lift our tissue, we'll wipe them away. But you know, child of God, today, there's coming a day, and there'll be no more tears over sin. No more tears over sorrow, no more tears over sickness, no more tears over souls. Because when we get to heaven, God shall wipe away all tears. Those things that have caused our heart to break down here, those things that have caused us to shed tears, they'll be forgotten. There'll be no more in heaven. Child of God, today rejoice. God sees your tears. God records them in his book. I say before we close, to any who are here without Christ, you need to shed tears of repentance. You need to get to the cross today. You need to see that it was your sin that nailed the Savior to the cross. It was love for your soul that held him there. May you today shed tears over your sin. May you today be saved by God's wonderful and matchless grace. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. May God bless his word to our hearts today. Let's bow in prayer.